SG-Land lovers, this here be the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. This be an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This be the first thoughts episode where we give our first thoughts of the amazing Once Upon a Time episode we just be a-watching. Well, I was watching with me good eye, so I'll do the best I can. And now we be sailing for Once Upon a Time treasure, so climb aboard. Here is our captain and first mate of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Captain, permission to come aboard?
Permission granted.
Yes.
Come aboard. And you can bring Ariel with you if you want. You have to help her up, because anyway. What a great episode.
Yes, it was.
This is Jeff Roney and my lovely wife, Colleen Roney.
Yep.
And we are...
And don't forget Lady Dog.
And the first dog lady is here. Mm-hmm. And we just watched Ariel, the newest Once Upon a Time episode.
Yep.
And season three, we said it before, and it's really shaping up to be a great, great season.
So yes. In fact, I would refer to them from this point forward so far, just season three alone, epic-sodes.
Epic-sodes. That's good.
They've been really, really good.
Maybe I still have I have love in my heart, a special place in my heart for season one. Season one was magical.
It was.
But season three is really shaping up well.
Yes.
And I think they may have listened to us and heeded our...
Dude, whatever changes they made between season two and season three,
yeah,
keep those changes. They've been fantastic.
Yes. Let's dive in, shall we?
I think we should dive
in. Ariel.
Ooh, you know what I sense? I sense there's going to be a lot of puns in tonight's first thought.
I think so. Well, I mean, you know, Hook and all that. All right. So Snow is quite a badass, if I can say that, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind. You're absolutely right. She is. She is very badass. And we've known that for quite some time.
Right.
But, yeah, running through the forest, being chased by two of the, you know, Queen's guards, they're men. Big men,
right.
Bigger than her. And men usually outrun women. Now, granted, she had a tiny bit of a head start, but still, men, if they're fast enough, can kind of catch up. Though they were wearing armor, so. But
yeah.
Needless to say, she was pretty badass.
She was wearing the, what I think they call the Forest Snow outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this was after her... the huntsman let her go.
I would wager.
Because I think she was wearing this when she was living in her little tree stump house.
Right.
And stealing stuff from carriages and stuff.
Right.
I think that was that era.
Yeah, so, very likely. Very likely.
When she was sliding down that hillside, it reminded me of, did it remind you of any movie?
Romancing the Stone.
That's exactly what I wrote down. I married this woman.
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed. You did. But the interesting thing and the difference between the two is that she didn't fall down into a big puddle of water, and she didn't have Michael Douglas fall between her legs.
Right. I'm so happy that you thought the same.
I did.
Great. Yeah. And then she did and I believe in The Fugitive, when she jumped up off the cliff there. And if I remember right, in The Fugitive, the gentleman, and his name escapes me. Tommy Lee Jones. He said that the doctor did a Peter Pan. If I remember right,
he
said he did a Peter Pan right into the water down
below.
Yeah,
I think you're right now that you mentioned that. I'd forgotten that part, but wow, wouldn't that be a coincidence?
And so we've seen a lot of these types of things where people are faced with an army or something coming after them, and they're on a cliff and they just jump over. Butch Cassidy and the I'm so worked up and excited.
Oh, don't. Yeah, just,
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, they did the same thing. They jumped off.
There have been a number of movies where they jump off the cliff into the water because, again, that's kind of what happens. Your back is up against wall. That's the only possible escape. And if you're lucky to survive, you know, great, you survive. If not, you know, the bad guys win because, you know, you don't.
So I'm going to cover up my notes. You can't see.
I'm not
so
looking.
So when Snow was in the water.
Yes.
And this mermaid came to rescue her. What did that remind you of?
Well, I'm probably not going to come up with the same thing you did, but actually I'm pretty sure you're thinking of one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
No.
Because when, well, and I wasn't really thinking about that because there was no rescue there. But, Splash,
right.
Of course, is the obvious one.
Wow.
Now, what I also was thinking of, too, is actually one of the Twilight movies. Yeah, and for all you listeners who don't like Twilight, do not send in hate mail. I have seen the movies, not all of them, but I've seen, and I believe it was the second one where Bella jumps off a cliff and ends up in the water and is almost attacked by Victoria. And then she ends up getting saved by Jacob.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just saying. Actually, no. Was it Jacob that saved her? No, it was Edward. It was Edward.
All right. Okay.
Edward saved her, and then when he got her on the shore, he disappeared, and Jacob came and got her.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is, there's a number of movies where that happens. But I was thinking in the Pirates movie, when he jumped down to get his stuff, and he had to dive down straight, which was not quite the same thing. But,
right.
You know, pirate thing. I don't know. It just kind of reminded me of that.
Okay. Boy, Twilight already. Okay.
Dude, seriously?
Mm.
Ugh. Mm. Anyway, whatever.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right. So it was the same as Tink rescuing Regina, in my estimation. People in peril.
Yeah.
So mermaids, and later on she says, I rescued him. That's kind of my thing, or that's what I do.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's the same thing with Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of what she does.
She wanted to help people.
Right.
And Ariel is not a typical mermaid, by the way, because the other mermaids were vicious and wanted to beat the living daylights out of people.
Right.
Or their ships, anyway. So, no, she's not a typical mermaid. She's very different.
So Ariel is a good mermaid.
She's a sweet mermaid.
It's kind of like all the other fairy tales, like Cinderella, for example, the good sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the evil stepsisters. And
right.
So, all right. Then we saw a very interesting scene. We've seen Rumpel train Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned this before.
Rumpel trained Cora.
Rumpel
trained Regina. Rumpel tried to train Emma a little bit.
Right. And so there was this kind of moment where Regina was behind Emma, and she was trying to say, okay, you need to concentrate, use anger, and all that. And I was thinking, okay, reminds me of Mr. Miyagi training Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And also Palpatine with Anakin, Yoda with Luke, and Dooku. Because Dooku said, you know, you have anger, but you don't know how to use it.
Right.
And so it's all these teachers along the way that are kind of pushing and helping this person learn this skill. So it was very interesting, and I didn't catch it at first, and you mentioned it to me, that when Emma got angry, a la Darth Vader, and probably Regina as probably Rumpel as
and Cora. Mm-hmm.
And Cora.
Yeah.
It had a physical world reaction to that anger.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah, she started the fire.
Well, it was that. I mean, the whole training session with Regina and Emma was kind of amusing, actually. Because, you know, Regina was really doing her best. And Regina's obviously a very good teacher because she stirred up her anger and knew how to do it, too.
Right.
And I thought it was really funny. She's like, I can't do with you staring at me. And she's like, or when it's raining, or when it's windy.
Wind blowing, or when they're shooting arrows at you. Right, yeah.
So basically, you're not going to be able to do it unless you're going to have, you know, get over yourself. And I thought that was really good that she pushed her beyond that to the point where she actually realized, oh.
Definitely, I think it was a nod to Star Wars. And then definitely was another nod to the whole idea of Shaolin priest and ninja mm-hmm. and training and that kind of a thing. It was very had an Asian feel in training like that. So
well, with the martial arts, right. The Asian martial arts, you do that is part of the thing. The training is focus and being able to do the, you know, what you need to do even with other distractions around you.
Yeah, so I wrote focus, anger, concentration.
Oh, all right. Look at that.
So it was interesting that Charming was kind of worried about that whole thing that transpired.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know about this. And then Snow actually said, well, it's in her. You know, she needs to learn how to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
See, they're not opposed to the magic. That's the difference. Yeah. They're not opposed to it.
Well, he is.
Well, as long as it's being used for good, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think his biggest fear is he doesn't want her to turn into Regina, which I don't think she would.
But it's that whole tapping into the anger part
that
scares him. And so I don't blame him
because
it's hard to turn it off.
Yep.
All right. So then basically the whole subtext underlying thing of this episode is secrets.
Right.
So the first thing is after this I wrote down is lying is keeping a secret until confirmed. And he said, you know, they go, so we're going to lie. He's like, no, we're not lying. We just need to keep the secret until it's confirmed. And so, you know, it's very interesting that when you start to dissect what is being said and the justifications of that. So,
sure.
One man's lie is another man's, you know, whatever.
Well, so. Here's the thing. I love the fact that Hook told the Charmings, because then the burden wouldn't be on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think honestly in that moment he couldn't keep the secret himself. He decided that it was best to tell her parents, because then he's not alone in the secret. They can each, you know, help keep each other accountable on the one hand. On the other hand, it also takes the heat off of him, because if it did spill out and she got mad at him, well, your parents knew. So it kind of deflects a little bit of that heat away from himself, I think.
But, and it's... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but I think he was misguided in thinking that, so...
And it's also this, now, I'm only going to tell you, and then 50 people know. So, anyway, it's kind of interesting. All right, so then lying keeps us from the people we care about.
Yep.
That's what Snow said. And then Charming said, but it also protects the ones we love. And so, you know, I love how the writers take something like a lie or a secret, and then they verbally kind of get you to look at it from all different sides, because mm-hmm. this is what life is.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes keeping a secret could be construed as a lie to somebody.
Absolutely.
So.
I can tell you from experience. Back when I was a teenager, you know, I had a boyfriend. He broke up with me. And then I found out a year later, he'd called my sister 2 or 3 days later and said, I made a big mistake. Mm-hmm. Should I get back together with her? And she said, no. She said, no, you've hurt her. Don't do it again. You can't promise you're not going to hurt her again. So no. And so he never did. And I was heartbroken. But in hindsight, I was glad, because if he had hurt me, it would have been even more painful. It would have been worse.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, on the one hand, my sister, did she lie to me? Yeah, she did, because she withheld the truth. But on the other hand, she did it to protect me. And so I was a little mad at her that she didn't tell me. But at the same time, because it was a full year later, you know, it made it a little easier to swallow.
If I remember right, that's it's called the lie of omission, it's called omission, where you know something and you don't tell that person that, whether they ask or not. So, yeah.
Well, look, let's face facts. Having dealt with this in my job, audit, auditors will ask questions. And the secret I learned from all the people I worked with is you tell them what they ask you. You don't volunteer other information. You only tell them what they ask. If they don't know the right questions to ask, that's their too bad.
Right.
So, again, it is that whole, Is it a lie because you're omitting information? Well, they didn't ask about it, so then, you know, there's justification all the way around.
Right. Okay, so Snow is an excellent tracker. Probably the best tracker I've ever seen, because she can look at footprints and broken sticks and say Neil's been here.
Well, she didn't say Neil. She said somebody has been dragged. She assumed it was Neil because of the fact that they knew that information.
Right. But, I mean, after she learned that, she goes, he was here. And then she looked over and saw all that. Right.
And where did she learn her tracking skills? Ruby.
Yeah, true.
Ruby taught her how to track, remember?
Oh, Ruby. I miss Ruby.
See? She taught her how to track.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Megan, if you're listening. We miss you.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you for tweeting me and replying to my tweet. And did you say hi to Josh Holloway yet?
She probably did.
She said she would.
Yes. No, Snow learned tracking from Ruby, who instinctually knows how to track real well.
True. All right. So we now know that we've met Ariel, and now there's a Prince Eric. And Ariel said she is a rescuer and a collector.
Yep.
Both things are actually pretty interesting because a collector has things that other people will probably need.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's true.
Yeah. So, again, that's kind of the flip side of gold, because gold has a lot of things and as we go forward.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. I was watching, I can't remember what episode, but it was like, you know, oh, it was second star to the right, and Charming and Snow were in his shop and said, you know, I think Regina's in trouble. We need her. Oh, I've got one of her tears right here in this bottle. You know, I mean, he has everything. It's amazing what he's got in there.
Right.
You know,
well, remember, he can see the future, though, too. He has some knowledge of the future, so that's why he knew to collect a lot of that stuff, because he knew it would come up. Come in handy later.
Do you have Grumpy's tears? No. I have Regina's tear, though. You know.
Yeah, I don't think he needs Grumpy's tears. Grumpy ever had any tears.
Yeah, probably not. So,
I don't think dwarves cry.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, because there's something healing about crying sometimes.
That's true.
I'm sad for the dwarves.
Well, I have a feeling that we're not through seeing what they're doing.
Oh, I know we will see them. I know we will.
All right. So under the sea, she mentioned the under the sea dance or
the ball.
The ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ball, again, is another fairy tale thing. Under the sea is the song. But under the sea was also the dance, kind of the name of the dance in Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. That's immediately what I thought. I'm like, really? Enchantment under the sea dance?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And
literally enchantment under the sea, right? Mm-hmm. Mermaids are pretty magical and very enchanting, so.
Yep.
Anyway.
And, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with Dave from Michigan. If you're listening, Mr. Dave from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
I tweeted about a year plus ago, and I said, Joanna Garcia Swisher is going to be cast as Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
And he DM'd me and he goes, no, that's a rumor. And in the end, I was right. It may have been a rumor at the time, but I was right. I'm not right that often. So when I am, boy.
Well, and I will tell you, she was a really good Ariel.
Yeah.
I liked her. I've always liked her. I've always thought she's a great actress, but she was a very good Ariel.
So Dave from Michigan, I was right once. I'm not right that often. Boy, you could collect all the things I said. Oh, this is going to happen, and this person is this, and I'm just
we should write a book of Jeff's crazy theories that never came to pass and see what happens.
It'd be a huge one. All right, so Ursula, this mythical, mythical being, sea being,
right,
grants wishes.
Well,
every thousand, something like that? Because they have it every year, this ball.
Yeah, I thought it was once a year.
Right. So it's kind of like the wishing well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You throw your thing and make a wish. It's kind of, whatever. I guess it worked for Ariel.
It apparently did work. But what was interesting is that I was thinking to myself, okay, so you don't know who Ursula is? You should probably know who she is if she lives in the sea. She's the goddess of the sea. You should probably know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So love under false pretenses. I mean, there's been a gazillion stories and fairy tales about that. Don't tell this. I mean, Aladdin on down the line, all these different things.
That's just in the Disney realm.
Right, right.
Then you get outside the Disney realm and we could just go on and on and on and on and on.
Yep.
And I think you brought up Never Been Kissed.
Right. Well, I was when the waiting for thing.
Well, that, but also.
Yeah, she was a reporter.
Right. She was undercover as a reporter. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's been a number of instances where this has been, you know, the false pretenses. And
now, in my defense, I have been made to watch chick flicks and rom-coms. So I have this kind of wealth of knowledge of, you know, just about every movie that Drew Barrymore's been in.
How many times have you seen that movie, by the way?
You haven't seen it a few times.
Yes,
I have. Oh, Drew Barrymore with braces at school and all that stuff. Was it, what was her name? What was
Josie Grossi?
That's it. See,
come on,
I
really?
Know. All right. So Emma, now remember how we were chiding on Emma for not like picking up and all the women didn't pick up on the big kiss that Charming gave Snow and the big hug and Emma.
Right.
No one knew and they got back and they were like, oh, you're back. Oh, great. Well, Emma is the greatest people reader now.
Yeah, it's like she got her powers back or something.
What's going on? How come you're...
Well, okay, sorry. But in her defense, I'm going to say this, okay?
We love you, J-Mo.
We do. I'm going to give benefit of the doubt here. Because before, the Charming and Hook were on the same page. They were in sync, and they were saying the right things to each other, and they were not stepping over each other trying to talk.
Right.
When the three of them were trying to explain what was going on, and they all gave three different answers.
Right, okay. All right.
That was a big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you have Hook and Charming, just the two of them, and Hook keeps quiet and Charming does all the talking, then by all means...
What the heck?
The TV. You put it on pause. You didn't do anything else.
All right. Okay. Scared me.
Scared me a little bit too.
My gosh.
What I was saying was that when Hook and Charming were discussing where they were going, it was one voice. When the three of them are running away to go find Neil, it was like Keystone Cops, and they tripped over each other with what they were saying.
Yeah, Keystone Cops.
Sorry.
Right.
It was just a verbal Keystone
Cops. A lot of young people are going, what's the Keystone Cops?
Look it up, kids.
Oh,
Wikipedia.
Boy. Movies were black and white once?
Google it.
Movies weren't in high def? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, kids. We're really old. At least I am. Okay, so we now have a little clearer idea, maybe, about the time on Neverland. It says time stands still.
Exactly, we've been saying that.
Okay.
We've been saying that. Have I not been saying that in the last few episodes?
Yeah.
I think I've been saying that.
Okay, so Pan is a cook, obviously, and he made Rumpel's favorite breakfast, eggs in a basket. And I was going, well, it's kind of like those two baskets that are hanging in Pan's camp. Right?
That's where you went with
eggs in a basket.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
All right. So
I believe, and I could be mistaken, it could very well be a nod to Robert's Scottish history, but...
Well, he didn't make him soup.
No, but okay, so Eggs in the Basket, known by many other names, is, let's see. Yeah, basically it's a thing. It's called Toad in the Hole in the British Isles.
All right.
So, no, that's what they call it, Toad in the Hole.
I know. Everything in other countries sometimes
sounds... It sounds more interesting than ours. Eggs in a basket. It's like, where else would you put eggs? But Toad in the Hole, it's like, ooh, kind of creepy. And then it's, oh, no, it's just this.
All I got to say is Robbie friggin' K.
Mm-hmm.
That guy...
Dude.
That kid, listen, I don't know how old he is, but he better clear his calendar because his phone is his manager is not getting any sleep because he's fantastic. The whole cast is great, but I mean, he is incredible. So
he is indeed.
Yeah.
He's 18.
Ugh. He's got a whole life and a lot of money to make ahead of him. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if you look at it, he's an interesting kid.
Where is he British?
He was
Has he
born
done
in,
a lot of stuff?
He was born in England. His filmography it started in 2007. Let's see. He was in a Pinocchio production, 2008.
There you go. Yeah.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. He was a cabin boy. That was okay. The latest thing. All he's right. been in a couple of things I think are probably more. Well, he was in Bruges, the film in Bruges.
Okay.
So, but his scenes were cut, and then he has been in a couple movies. He's gotten his start in the last few years, and yep. I would say his filmography is mostly British movies.
Yep. He is very, very strong.
He is. He is absolutely very strong.
Just keep an eyeball out. Boy, man, I'm telling you. So good.
Yep.
All right. Regina and the Evil Munchkins line. That was pretty funny. Follow the Evil Munchkins.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very, very fun little nod to Wizard of Oz.
So I've talked about it before in Lost and in other stories where the main group breaks up and breaks off. And there's certain things that if everybody was together, no bad thing would happen because they would all know.
Right.
But because they're separated, sometimes people don't know enough or whatever, and they get schnookered, right? That's a word, isn't
it? Yeah.
I'm always afraid I'm going to say something bad and offend somebody in another country. Like, no, that's bad. Don't say that. Anyway, I don't mean any.
I'll fix it if you
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, you speak a lot of different languages.
No, actually I don't, but I know a lot of words in other languages and what they mean.
Okay, but Regina takes action and leaves the group. She just says, I'm gone.
I'm done with you people.
I'm done with
I'm
you.
Out.
I'm leaving. And so that's
she dropped
a forced...
the mic. Regina has left the building. I don't know what's gotten into me tonight. I'm really
peace out. Yeah.
Losing it.
All right.
But in a
so
good way.
That sounded so uncool when I just said that. I don't think I'll ever say it. Peace out.
Yeah, you know what? No. We've
sorry,
retired
everybody.
That for you now.
All right.
It's retired.
Okay, so I saw a very interesting Ursula statue when we went to the ball, the mm-hmm. under the sea ball.
I noticed
ball.
It too.
And that won't be the last time we've seen that, by
right.
the way. The salad trident comment was pretty funny. You know, because Snow was trying to help.
Didn't she call it miniature trident?
She did. A mini trident.
Mini trident.
At first. And
salad trident? Mini
could
salad
be a gum,
trident?
Right.
Yeah.
And then Snow was trying to help her say, no, come on.
Full
we went
work.
Through this.
Oh, yeah.
And I do...
Actually, if she really said it, the Ariel quote that I almost thought she would have said was Dinglehopper.
I was pretty sure they weren't going to do that because that's just too close and people are going
to... Well, it would be... Yeah. Yeah, she was making up words.
This is a grown-up little mermaid. This
she's
is,
a bit more grown-up, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Well, yep. This Ariel is not 16. The other right. Ariel was 16, so...
Yep. All right, so... Eric dreamed of Ariel from a vision that Ursula gave him.
That's what he thinks, yeah. Because right. he didn't recognize that it was her who saved him.
So I'm wondering how and why he got that vision. Because he said Ursula gave him a vision of his
destiny. Well,
because
he dreamed it. He said he'd been dreaming about it.
But he said, from a vision I got from Ursula. So
which, again, he could be his way of honoring her.
Okay.
Do you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's assuming that if I've been drinking about it, it must be a vision that she gave me.
Yeah.
Right? People believe God gives them visions in dreams or in other, you know, mm-hmm. ways. I'm thinking it's the same concept.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
So Eric is sailing to Agrabah.
Yes.
And we've already met
well,
at
he wants
least...
to go see the world, and he mentioned specifically Agrabah.
Right.
That's part of the world, but again, that's not the only world. Or maybe that's the only one he knows. I don't know.
Right. And we've already met at least two things from Agrabah and
yes,
Once Upon a Time.
We have.
The genie. and the double-headed snake, the vipers of Agrabah.
Yes, so, that is true.
Yep. All right. So Eric will wait for Ariel, and then I wrote never been kissed because he said, I will wait here for you. Come and join me, and we will sail to the deserts of Agrabah. And I hope we don't get bit by the snakes.
Yes.
Now, okay. Look, I'm a big boy. I get violence and I get all that action stuff and all that. But Regina's Vader neck snap, that was pretty wild tonight. I was like, wow.
Oh,
that
dude.
Was okay.
That was pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I was like, huh. I mean, a good old fashioned force choke. I mean, that's pretty, you know, fairly tame. But I was like, okay, they're, and that's what I mean. This is not a Disney movie.
The point. This is not, I know that it's real easy to look at this as if it's, you know, hey, happy go lucky. And it's all Disney movie. It's not. It's a twist on the Disney movies. They've borrowed pieces from the Disney movies to just give you that, you know, pop culture reference.
Right.
But this is not Disney movies.
Well,
and I think that needs to be stated again. I know we've talked about this a long time ago, but I think we need to state it again. This is not Disney movies.
Right.
So the expectation that it's going to be exactly like a Disney movie, it's not going to be like that. In fact, and I want to bring this up too, because I think this needs to be said as well. Walt Disney watered down the real stories.
That's true.
Big time.
That's true.
Huge.
Yeah. Because Pinocchio was a real rascal, let's say.
Yeah. There were a lot of things that happened in these stories, in the way they were told and the reality of them, that have been tempered by Disney himself so that they would be more kid friendly. Yeah. But you read the real stories and they can be pretty brutal. So again, this comes back to, some of what we're seeing is coming closer to the original stories, and or at least the feel of, it's not all sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, but Regina really requires a lot of good work ethic. That's what I'll say. You better be good at what you're doing if you're going to be working for Regina. So.
Yeah, you know what? You better not fail, because that could be your last breath.
But it was very Darth Vader-ish, you know, especially Empire Strikes Back and all that. You know, I'm sorry, he escaped. All that. So
yes. Yep. Well, and what was interesting is that, you know, the second guy freaked
out. I love that. I love that thing.
Should I lead another army of men to get her?
Yeah, just like in Star, we'll double our efforts. You better, because.
Actually, it reminded me a little bit of Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Guarding the castle, 30 men, double it. My princess shall be safe.
So Pan the Voyeur, I thought it was really interesting that he didn't have some type of a stone or something where he can like look and watch people, but he was using his spyglass, which
makes is very sense. Hook.
I know, but I'm just, all right. So the Echo Cave was one of those things where I thought it was important, you know, and I was kind of tweeting about it, like, I thought the Echo Cave is where all the other shadows were being held or something. Because they mentioned it. And I go, well, you just don't have a thing like the Echo Cave, because it was in the original story.
The Echo Cave?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, and then I just started to forget about it. I said, well, whatever. All right. But now it comes back. And it is an intrinsic part of the story.
Absolutely.
But I do love the Pan as a military leader is that, you know, when you have something the other army wants, when they're starting to get too close, you go, well, let's move it then.
Right.
Move the chess piece, get it out of the way, put it, so hide it somewhere.
Right.
And, cause you know, at first I would imagine warriors, when they would capture someone, they would either, you know, put them up and hoist them up, you know, as a sign that we are superior to the other, whatever, the army. But, and that's what they did. They put the in the cage and lifted it up. And
well, yeah, it's a little harder to escape. Let's say you can get out of the bars of the cage.
Right.
But you're still too high up off the ground. Where are you going to go? You're gonna do yourself serious damage if you attempt to jump down, right? If you're high enough up, you're gonna hurt yourself. Yeah. So, and you're not close enough to the branches to actually grab hold and, you know, climb your way down, right?
Yeah.
That's a smart maneuver. So it makes sense, because you put somebody in a cave, they could probably find a way out, dig their way out. It's a little harder out of a cage suspended in the air.
Right.
Just saying.
The bell reveal was great, and we kind of, and that's why we've been calling it Vision Bell and all that.
Not real Bell. Pretty I knew sure, it was not her. Yeah. I knew it wasn't.
You know, and I do like some of the other, we did get some feedback that it was probably Rumpel's subconscious and different things that was coming out, so he could kind of flesh things out and talk things out and kind of discover, and this was part of his redemption to kind of dig down into what who he really is. But actually, I really love the reveal, and they left some pretty clear clues, because Pan said you could go home, start a family with Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that really stuck with me, because that, and then Belle repeated that line.
Right.
Let's go home. Let's start a family. Take my hand
mm-hmm.
and we'll go.
Right.
And I went, wait a minute. The last time anybody took anybody's hand and went somewhere
yeah.
was the Shadow. Oh, I said, hold on. And then Regina came and outed the Vision Bell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Vision of Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I love that she goes, you're falling for that?
You're falling really? For this parlor trick?
And you know, she said, is this amateur hour?
Oh, no, that was brilliant. What is this?
Yeah.
Amateur hour?
Yeah. And I love...
immediate response was, what are you doing here?
Right. He didn't answer the question.
That was comedy. Yeah, that was comedy gold, that scene. It really was. No, actually, pun intended. It was comedy gold.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
So, you know, again, we talked about the if the group was together, that would never have happened. It would have never happened more than once, because Regina would have said, and I think we did talk about that, is however strong you are, it always takes somebody who's different than you to kind of point out a foible in your life, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, dude, really? Why are you doing that? And when you're on your own, you make justifications for things. It's like, I just feel this way. It's like, well, why are you doing that? I just, and other people help you to kind of see the real stuff.
Right.
So anyway, it was interesting that Regina walked right up and go, really? You're buying this? Oh, come on. So it was interesting that the Vision had to die to reveal the Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like the Vision had to be choked out. Right. Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed Rumpel's look on his face when Regina was choking Belle. He was like, he was frightened. Because he looked at Belle and he kind of looked back at her like, you know, do I kill you now? Or he didn't know what to do, but he was scared.
And I think part of that is because he really did want that to be really, truly Belle. Really believe he wanted it to be really her, that he'd conjured up an image of her that was so realistic, and it was a way for him to not be homesick. It was a way for him to not fight this, you know, urge to, you know, preserve his own life, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, he was torn, because I think on some level he knew it wasn't really her.
And so, yeah, he'd been kind of, he'd been fooled all this time
mm-hmm.
with that. But I think he wanted to believe. And
I believe that's how Peter knows what's going on with the folks on the island, is because...
So the Shadows is the heart, right?
I'm pretty sure his shadow. Yeah, that's his shadow. I'm pretty sure it's his. And yeah, it's giving him all kinds of information.
So this is so cruel. A woman would say the kiss that didn't mean anything of Hook.
Oh, yeah.
She was telling Snow, it's like, well, I kissed Hook. What? well, you know, why? Did it mean anything? He's like, no, it didn't mean anything. It meant something to Hook. Poor Hook.
Well, sure it did, because he's falling in love with her.
Yeah.
But see, for her, I think she didn't want to admit that she could have feelings for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, I mean, let's face facts. She just lost Neil.
Right.
Not that long ago. We're talking a matter of days, if that. Right?
Right.
If it's even been that long. So, that being the case, how does it make her look? And, you know, because she believes he's dead. At this point, she honestly thinks he's dead. There's no hope of him coming back. So, there's no hope of getting back together with him. So, she's ready to move on.
Right.
She's been without him for so long. She's ready to move on. And she's thinking, you know, Hook's not a bad option. I mean, look at him. Hello? Look at him. No, seriously, look at him. Because he's not a bad option. And, I mean, he's trying to help her. He's trying to be nice. He doesn't have to. He could have abandoned them all. He could have, you know, sailed off with his ship and left them there high and dry. I mean, there's any number of things that could have happened. But I think she's starting to see him as, you know, maybe he's not all bad. Maybe he's, you know, kind of a nice little option there. And he is pretty ding-dang sexy.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So I'm thinking she felt guilty for kissing him.
Right.
And she kissed him more than she probably should have. Because when she walked away from the kiss, none of you paid attention to that, she had a very small little smile on her face.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it was not just a meaningless kiss, even though she told Snow it was.
You know, and this is not, I'm not going to say that. When I do dig the fact that Emma kind of took the, I'm in charge of my life. I want to kiss this dude. I'm going to kiss this dude. That's it. Because I think a lot of times, women kind of have this kind of duty bound thing of they won't do that because it's not, you know, ladylike or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. She liked the dude. She kissed the dude. Okay, cool. But on the other hand, I mean, it was like he was on the other end of it. And I know, you know, the men are pigs. People are just going to come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, Jeff, well, what? But look, I'm just saying this, that I'm glad she kind of took charge of things. She felt something for Hook. She gave him a kiss. But on the, and I understand on the flip side, Hook is now kind of reeling from this. Like, well, yeah. I felt something.
Right.
You know.
So. Exactly. That's my point. You know, I felt bad for, I did feel bad for him. I really did. And I, you know, I totally get that it meant more to him than it did to her. But at the same time, I still think it meant more than just nothing. It was a little something.
Right.
A little tiny something.
Yeah. And probably the story's not over, but I think it's going to be more difficult as we progress through tonight's episode. So, Snow is talking to Ariel and saying, you need to do the hard thing. You need to be honest. And I think that's kind of what we're used to, this whole idea of just be honest and everything will be all right. Until we get later on in the episode, and then we'll talk about that. So Ursula was a myth, but then Regina figured out that she could use that myth to her advantage because there was belief in it, but not any proof. Though, I mean,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It seemed like certain things had been done, and maybe they did kind of pray or ask to the statue or something. And maybe things happen and they go, oh, no, that was from Ursula.
Right.
Because I, you know, asked for this. So, and then I wrote amateur hour. You believe that was Belle? And then he said, well, why are you here? He's not going to answer that question. So, and I do love finally that the two opposing bad forces are going to reunite to take care and save Henry.
Yep.
You know, so the evil queen and the dark one. I mean, can you see it in lights? The evil queen and the dark one. You know, it's kind of like Frankenstein and the werewolf, you know, together again, you know, gonna do whatever.
It would be an interesting band.
Yeah. And I don't know what a fate worse than death is, but I
wondered that myself.
He had it in his shop.
You know what?
Next to Regina's tear.
I think it differs for everybody.
Yeah.
Because think about it. I mean, let's face facts. A fate worse than death. What would that be for Peter Pan? Hmm. Okay, so...
growing old, probably.
Possibly growing
because
up.
Because he keeps saying that. I'm young. This is young. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Growing up.
Right.
Or losing all the lost boys to their parents.
Yeah.
Having them go back
being
home.
Alone.
Being
yeah.
alone. Or being under someone's authority.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I would say we're probably closest with growing old.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Not growing old, growing up.
Or being a part of normal society, too, because he loves to say, you know, being a lost boy is never having to say, you're never having to apologize, and you can stay up all the time, and you can fight and lose fingers and mm-hmm. this and that. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of each thing.
It's going to be something along those lines. Yep. Yeah.
So then I love when Regina said, well, now you're talking. Because that's what Rumpel said a number of times.
She said, now we're talking.
Well, okay.
She did. Now we're talking.
Okay. And Rumpel has said something very similar a couple of times when people have said exactly what he wanted him to say. And he goes, well, now we're talking. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So there was a line in there. You can be a part of Eric's world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Ursula.
That was
And you were Ursula. Saying you were saying that Ursula... I'm sorry. Lana channeled a near-perfect Pat Carroll.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah, she did. She clearly studied Pat Carroll's interpretation of Ursula. And she got a lot of the inflections, the tone, the feel, the vibe. She even, I mean, deepened her voice a bit.
It was, right. It was her own, though. It wasn't a copy, but...
No. Mm. But it was, she picked out some of the best parts and use that to really, you know, infuse that with her, you know, her performance. Yep. She did a great job.
So we saw something else again. We've seen it before. The bracelet. We've seen a number of bracelets in Once Upon a Time.
Sure.
There was one that Hook had from Korra that you could go through the barrier spell.
Mm-hmm.
And it also was used on Regina to, I think it was just to freeze her or something like that. It was used on her.
Mm.
And now we see another bracelet, and it turned Snow into what I call the Snow Maid. Because,
Snow Maid.
Yeah. And so and it was very interesting, that whole kind of switcheroo thing. That whole double-sided candle. Never forget that, folks that are listening. That whole trade-off thing. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see that again and again and again.
Sure.
And here we see it again. It's like, you can have legs, but to have legs, we need to take it away from her. So she needs to wear this bracelet, and she'll be a mermaid, and you'll be around, walking around, and she could just swim down and live in your world. Wow. Maybe she should have asked Snow first, but she
didn't. You know what? She thought she was helping. Again, that's what she does. She collects things and wants to help.
Regina called Snow the catch of the day.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And later on, the Echo Cave, the deeper the lie, I believe it's the more truth in its echo.
Yep.
And our secrets will destroy us. That was Pan's hope. And I did kind of want to take some time and talk about that a little bit. You know, there's this thought of lies are bad, don't lie. But we've also talked about the lie of omission, where you think it's better to not tell someone something that would hurt them.
Correct.
If they knew.
Correct.
And so, you know, some would consider this a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, in life, you know, when you're driving down the freeway, you know, and how you feel about a person who's going too slow, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what they're thinking about. You don't know what's happening. But they're going too slow, and they're impeding your speed. And so you just let loose on them. Or somebody in the office says something to you, or somebody in the street. There's all these things, and you don't normally tell them off.
Right.
You keep that to yourself. Because if you were to be totally honest and tell the truth to everybody, I don't think you'd be very popular.
No.
I don't think people... And I think secrets sometimes have that part of it, is you don't want to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so it's better just to not say anything. And it's, and because the truth is, these secrets that they are revealing, Emma, Hook, Charming, Snow, mm-hmm. they were hurtful.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were.
And it's going to take time and to repair, because, you know, Hook was right. Pan wanted them to rescue Neil.
Yeah, absolutely.
But by telling these secrets, it would tear them apart. So again, right. it reminded me of that, the whole conch shell mermaid thing on the boat. Mm-hmm. Is that situation caused them to go at each other.
Right.
And to fight.
Right.
And all that. And when they learn that that's not the way to do it, and to understand that the fighting caused a storm to rage more, mm-hmm. when they didn't, then it calmed down.
Right.
And, we knew that Charming's secret was bad.
Oh, yeah.
To keep from Snow.
Right.
And now we see the after effects. And then now we also see that Hook proclaimed his love for Emma. Mm-hmm. In the hearing of Neil. So
oh, yeah.
it kind of reminds me of Manhattan, I believe it was, when Gold and Emma and Neil and Henry were in the same room and all the truth started to roll out.
Yeah.
And all it started to reverberate and it affected everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Gold, kind of had an idea he wanted to kill Henry. But now he realizes...
It's his grandson, so he really didn't want to do that.
And then Neil found out that, it was all that. And so it was very similar to me in a little bit when the secrets started coming out. And then now we're going to have to pick up the pieces. And this is really more devastating than killing them or hurting them or beating them. It's just all it was the truth of the heart, these secrets that. Even Hook said, the secrets that you would never tell another soul.
Right.
Now they're out.
Mm-hmm.
So to rescue Neil, they had to kind of lay bare their soul in a way.
Now, did you think what I thought when I first saw that room?
I thought kind of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yep, exactly.
And this was a little different. It wasn't a leap of faith.
No, it wasn't a leap of faith. But I was wondering if that was going to be an alternative, if they actually were to do that, if they figured to do that, would that happen?
It was interesting that Emma kind of said what probably a lot of people said, is the last time we've seen that kind of a thing, mm-hmm. where they were on a cliff and people were chasing them. Henry used pixie dust and flew.
Right.
So right. As well, will we sprout wings? I think it was a very, it reminds me a lot of, and I haven't seen, I have not seen one of them, but I understand enough that the whole Saw movie franchise thing sets up these very diabolical things. And to get out, you need to hurt yourself or other people. And it's that same kind of thing. But also reminds me of Seven in a way. And these are loosely connected to it. It's just very diabolical because it's not, again, it's not painful and hurting anybody, but it's a head game and it's telling the truth. And so I hope that they can live through that, because it's sometimes telling the truth is freeing. And people will kind of live on that side and they'll go, no, you need to tell the truth. Sometimes that can be devastating to really find out the truth.
It really is pretty devastating. Because again, I've said this 100 times at least in the last few years. It's not people don't care what you say to them. They don't remember your words. They do, however, remember how you made them feel. Hmm. So this, the lies, they may not remember the details of the lies necessarily years and years and years from now, but somewhere in their subconscious, they'll remember how they were felt about it.
Yeah.
And that's the tough, that's the damage that is so difficult to repair. So difficult.
Did you see the look on Charming's face when he, when Hooked said, "I kissed Emma"? I thought he was going to shove him in that crevice. I thought he was going to say, see ya, Hook. Oh, and he thanks for saving my life.
He wanted to punch him. He was a mad dad.
Because he goes, what?
It was pretty funny, actually.
All right. But I think Snow's exchange, or her secret, was, I think, one of the most powerful, because she really, she probably did not want to admit that.
Right.
That sending Emma on in that tree, the wardrobe, was probably the worst thing ever, because she missed her life.
Yeah, she did.
And now they're cleaning up the debris from that. And you know, I think now Snow is finally seeing Emma's side of things, because Emma's been trying to tell her. You know, she said, you're just all, you know, sunshine and roses. But look, man, you know, it's been painful being away from you. Why did you do it? I needed you. You were nowhere around. You know, I've had a hard life.
Yeah.
And Snow, I think, is now realizing. And as a matter of fact, I'm not trying to be a hater, but Snow pretty much slapped her in the face and said, that really didn't matter. I need to start again. We need to do it again. So it's like, I don't know. That's what
that
I got
would have
from
been.
It.
That would have been a very, I didn't pick that up. What I did pick up is that, you know, her secret was that she really felt cheated, and she knows that there's nothing she can say or do now to really turn back the hands of time with Emma. So, you know what? I can't do that. She's self-sufficient. She's doing well. And we have a different relationship than I wanted, but at least we have something. And you know what? I'm not her mother. Even though I am her mother, I'm not her mother.
Right.
And so I need to be a mother, and I need to be a mother to a new baby.
It was honest, but I think it would sting if I heard it.
Oh, absolutely.
And, but no, it's a very, very emotional. And then, you know, Charming's secret.
Oh,
you know, and so it started to kind of build.
That was sad.
You know, one upon the other. And then, you know, Neil's waiting over there. I expected him to, you know, kind of yell out, say, "I'm over here, remember. You know, you're saying all these things."
You know what? He knew. Yeah. You know he knew.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the fact that Snow felt she needed to tell the secret first. If she hadn't told the secret first, if Charming had told his secret first, what would her secret have been?
Right, right.
Would she have told it?
Yeah.
Would that have mattered? Would that have changed things?
This episode was probably the most well-written, and the plan for this Echo Cave and what they did with it was just fantastic.
Well, you can thank Eddie and Adam because they wrote this episode.
Man, dude. It was so, so good. All right. So I was really touched, you know, at the Neil scene of "You Can Tell Me Anything." You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's love.
Knowing that she was probably going to say something that would hurt him.
Right, right. You know, and you know, later on, we hear in their exchange, you know, he says, "Look, you don't have to apologize after what I put you through." Mm-mm. You know, and so I would have expected him to just be prepared for the worst. Just tell me whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then he goes later on, he says, "I'll still fight for you."
Yeah. You know, that was so sweet.
So.
And that little hug at the, you know, when the bars melted away.
Yep.
That was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty darn cool.
In a way, you know, Snow and Emma are similar in that now Emma has the same type of feeling with Neil, because it's almost a start over. Do you start over or do you go with Hook? You know, and Hook was watching that whole thing when Neil said, I will fight for you. And Hook was like, huh, I thought I was in the clear, but now I guess not. So it's going to be
Hook's heart's going to break. And that's going to either make him fight Neil.
Yeah.
Or fight Pan to the point where he could lose his own life because he won't have anything to fight for.
Yeah. I love, and I've been a part of this. I've heard this many times. I don't think from you that much, but I've heard it when Snow said, not now.
Oh,
not now.
Yes.
So I was like, well, okay.
No, I don't think I've ever said
maybe
that
later,
you.
Maybe a year and later.
Well, it was fresh wound,
right?
Because again, you know, and the funny thing is, Snow is very sensible, so she will eventually realize what was he going to tell her. What difference would it have made? Would she have, you know, switched gears? Would she have? What would she have done? You know, would it have made a difference if she had known earlier?
So we now, at the end of the episode, we get introduced to the real Ursula. Turns out that the statue is alive, or at least became alive.
The real Ursula may communicate through the statue.
Yeah. And so Regina now has some explaining to do. Mm-hmm. She says, don't do that again, Regina. Don't do it again.
Oh, dude.
All right, and now Ariel is the errand girl.
Right, and she was summoned by?
The shell phone. Colleen, that's Colleen's.
Well, so. they called the squid. Squid right. Came running. And then she called Ariel.
Domino's Pizza.
Yeah.
Ariel.
When Neil called the squid.
Yeah.
And then Regina used it to call Ariel. So apparently this is a very popular form of communication with sea creatures. So they do have mobile wireless devices, much like we do, only they are shell phones.
They're going green, folks. Okay. Thank you for listening. However you found us, I want to send big love out to everybody. We're all in this together. I want to remind you, please tweet while you listen. Mm-hmm. And you can tweet out, I am listening to @OUAT podcast, first thoughts, Ariel, and the user hashtags there. It's very, very, very important, and it's spreading the word. And we get new listeners all the time, and we really appreciate that. So these are first thoughts. These is our first stab with a salad trident, if you will. And poor Regina got tridented in the neck.
She did. That was really kind of violent, actually.
Yeah.
Especially for a sweet little mermaid who likes to help people and collect things.
Yeah, she was rocking. Regina was rocking that Dracula collar. I didn't bring up, but anyway, she was doing that.
Oh, honey, she rocked every outfit she wore tonight.
I understand that. Yes, indeed.
They all did, actually.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. These are our first thoughts. Now it's your turn. We have email addresses. We have voicemail addresses. We have an email address. We have a voicemail number. We have a Facebook page and Twitter. So we want to give you all different kinds of opportunities and ways to communicate with us, to let us know what you think, your theories, what we missed, what you think. And we've asked a lot of questions, and we really are interested in to see what you have to say. So now the rest is up to you, and we will be talking at you soon. So with that, we will bid you goodbye and talk to you soon.
Bye.
Well, mates, thank ye for joining us for the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This be a Roni's Own Media production. We want to hear from ye. Our website be onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our email be feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line be 657-333-0626. So let us know what you thought of tonight's episode. And keep a ruddy eye for our main show coming in a few days. So tell other Oncers that this be the place to be. Until we sail again, big love to you all, and we'll see ye later. With me, good eye, of course.